The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Order, everybody. I'm Lindsay Wood, the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters. And a special welcome to the people of Canterbury, because Plains Media is now putting Climate Matters out, as well as Fresh FM. Well, today's episode is going to cover the first interview with social scientist Jim Simonsinner, describing a really exciting climate initiative that he is spearheading for a group in the Nelson region, and that can also be picked up by people in Canterbury. So I do hope you enjoy this interview with Jim Simonsinner. I first met Jim during his many years as a senior scientist at the Cawthron Institute, and I've since had the privilege of working with him on some of the climate initiatives under the auspices of the Nelson-Tasman Climate Forum and other areas as well. But today we'll mainly be talking about an exciting initiative that I've had little to do with, and I'm eager to learn more. So a big welcome to the show, Jim.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's a pleasure to be here, and a big shout out to all of your listeners in Nelson and maybe Canterbury as well.
That's exciting. This is going out to Canterbury now, so I hope we've got something to offer them. And first of all, I have to compliment you on your wonderful T-shirt. Jim's got a bright yellow T-shirt with a circular diagram and a Swap One logo on it. And that's your clue to what Jim's going to be talking about today. So let's start at the beginning, Jim. You're leading a group that recently launched a new initiative. I've just given a spoiler to that, to reduce carbon emissions in Nelson. Can you please tell us about it and give us an idea how it works?
Thanks, Lindsay. As you've indicated, it's called Swap One, and the basic idea is pretty simple. We are inviting people once a week to swap their commute in a petrol or diesel car for a low-carbon option. That can be taking the bus, riding a bike, walking to work, sharing a ride with a friend, maybe driving your EV, or even working from home. And people sign up for weekly email reminders, and they log their trips. Anybody can sign up, and logging trips on the web app is really simple. It takes literally just a few seconds in your morning. And if everyone in Nelson swapped 1 week, we could cut emissions in Nelson by around 4%, which is half of the annual target in Nelson City Council's climate strategy. Then we'd hope to build on that in following years, and hope that some people would go all the way in and do maybe do 5 days a week. And we could really be on our way to reducing Nelson's emissions from greenhouse gases.
Fabulous. That's really quite a big impact, isn't it? So maybe can you give listeners a sense of why you're focusing on private transport emissions in the Nelson region?
Sure. Well, transport accounts for 61% of Nelson's emissions, at least it did in 2019, 2020. It's probably a higher percentage now because emissions from waste have fallen due to methane capture at landfill. So if we're going to make an impact on Nelson's emissions, then transportation is really the place we have to start. And there's also lots of co-benefits from reducing traffic and congestion. There's less air pollution, less time wasted in traffic. Commercial vehicles can get to their jobs faster, making companies more efficient. And in fact, we get a significant further reduction in carbon emissions from less engine idling in traffic jams. So there's lots of reasons. And finally, Nelson has got a relatively new e-bus service with really nice modern buses. We already have a culture of active transport. We've got the highest percentage in New Zealand, about 16% of people who are getting into work by walking or cycling. So we already have the culture established and some good cycle routes, good buses. But there's also lots of scope for expanding the number of people on buses and bikes, and we're keen to work on that in Nelson.
Oh, that's wonderful and great. And your figure of 16% already involved with active transport. I just want to give a shout out to Canterbury because in one sense, there's a bit of a rivalry in the cycling infrastructure there. And I think obviously Christchurch has many more cyclists than Nelson does, but Nelson for now sports the title of having the greatest per capita cycling population, I think. So that's terrific for both communities, isn't it? Anyway, moving on from there, how did this come about, Jim? Please tell listeners and me a little bit more about the background to the Swap One initiative.
Well, as an environmental social scientist, I've had a long interest in collective action. How do we overcome a problem when no one takes responsibility because everyone feels that what they do doesn't really matter? In many respects, that, I think, is one of the biggest obstacles to addressing climate change at a national level, within industries, between regions, and right down to the individual level. I wanted to find a way to give people in my community, in Nelson, a sense that they can make a difference by everyone working together, and to give people more hope and more of a feeling that it mattered what they do. So the specific inspiration for Swap One actually came from you, Lindsay. About a year ago, we were talking about actions that would reduce transport emissions, and you had a slide that showed 10 cars with a single occupant, and then the next slide showed 8 cars, of which 2 had 2 occupants. In other words, if 2 out of 10 commuters would carpool, we could cut peak hour traffic and emissions by 20% and probably get a reduction in congestion as well, and reducing demand for new roads. And I thought that was a simple action and something that was really visually impactful to me, and I think is easily understood by the wider population.
I didn't know that background until you told me, Jim. Thank you.
Well, at the same time, the Nelson City Council was finalizing its climate strategy, and they only included actions that were already agreed, and they were leaving it to the community to come up with ideas on how to actually achieve their target for reducing emissions. So I started talking to people about a transport campaign to get people to change their commuting mode one day a week, based on this graphic I'd seen of yours, Lindsay. And I learned that 2 other local organizations, Mission Zero and NELSUST, had some related initiatives underway. So we had a meeting with these organizations and with Nelson City Council, and everyone thought that a campaign would be a good idea.
And I just interrupt you briefly, Jim.
Yeah.
For listeners who don't know, and particularly Canterbury listeners, Mission Zero is an organization encouraging businesses in the top of the South Island to adopt good climate initiatives, isn't it? And
that's right.
NELSUST is Nelson's leading sustainable transport strategy group. So just to put those two in context.
Thanks, Lindsay. That's good. So we put together an application for a grant to the city council and got $50,000. And we also got $12,500 from 2 private donors who responded to our pitch at the Nelson City Council's Dragon's Den for Climate.
Great.
Back in May. We've also put in a large number of volunteer hours, including hundreds of hours from an outstanding student at Nelson College named Arturo Neal, who has built our web app as his scholarship project for technology. So it's been a team effort, and it's come together really well. We were really excited to launch this on the 17th of September, just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's terrific. Good support from council, and also getting a substantial contribution from private donors is well done as well. I just want to pick up on one thing. If I heard you right, Jim, you said that one of the co-benefits could be really congestion busting, that it might well reduce the congestion on demand for new roads. Can you elaborate on that for me? Because that's a biggie, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, some people might say that congestion in Nelson isn't that bad compared to Auckland, for example, but people still get frustrated when they're stuck in traffic and want to have new roads built to relieve that pressure. And that comes from business as well as from private commuters. But international experience has shown us that building more road capacity, it just induces more traffic. And before long, you've got the congestion back where it started, and now you have even more vehicles sitting in traffic, idling and putting ever more carbon dioxide and ever more other pollutants into the atmosphere. So building more roads is really just a sugar hit. It's a short-term fix, but it's not a long-term solution. The long-term solution is really to make other transport modes more attractive than driving a private car, and also to make it more attractive to live closer to where you work so you can more easily walk, bike, or take the bus to work. That's really the long-term solution to traffic congestion, not building more roads.
I like it. I like it. Hey, well, Jim, obviously a key to this is actually getting people to take up the initiative of swapping. And so what are the strategies that your group has got for getting people involved? Please give us an insight into that.
Our primary strategy is working with businesses and other large employers in the Nelson region to get them to promote this to their employees. We've got Sea Lord signed up. We have Cawthron signed up, Nelson City Council, the Port Nelson, all of which have got large numbers of employees. And they're going to be promoting this to their employees and encourage them to sign up. And it's a Swap One It's a way of for them to show that they're part of the community effort to reduce emissions. It's part of their contribution as a business to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And it also shows it's a way to engage with their staff and say, look, we care, and we want to do something together with you. So we were building on Mission Zero's work last year, where they had already started talking to businesses about working on low carbon commuting and getting their employees to switch. And Mission Zero actually did a survey last year of several thousand, well, a couple of thousand employees in the Nelson region to learn about their transport choices, to commute distances, the barriers to low carbon commuting. And we've used that to inform how we've designed the program. We've
Oh,
built
that's
a
a great
website.
foundation.
Yeah, we've built a website called swap1.nz, and that has lots of information about commuting options, links to bus routes and fares, information on bike routes, how to get an EV, lots of different information about things like that. We're also going to run commute clinics, what we're calling commute clinics in workplaces, because we realize that a lot of people won't necessarily go to the website and search this information out. So we're going to go into some of these large workplaces and offer some personalized advice to staff, and if they come up and talk to us and want to get more information on what kind of bike they should get, how they can get a bike on the work ride scheme, which if people don't know about it, it's a great scheme that allows employees to purchase a bicycle through their employer. The employer actually buys the bike, and the employee pays it off over time through salary deductions. And because you pay for it pre-tax, you effectively get about a 25% discount on the price of the bike. Sometimes it's even more than that, depending on your tax bracket. So we can promote that through these commute clinics, and we've got prizes and lots of other ways to encourage people to join the scheme.
That's just so impressive. And you've taken the idea of working together to a new level, haven't you? Because it's not only collective people, individuals working, but the businesses being involved as well. And the activities you've talked about are great. I'd love to get you to unpick some of the things that are going on with your incentives and your commute clinic. Sounds a great idea. So watch this space, but hopefully we'll come back to that. So just moving on. In terms of how the listeners can get involved in detail, I think you might have covered some of this off. I'd like you to just spell out again the website and the idea of the app. And because it goes out to Plains Media, it would be great if you could comment on how any of the good people of Canterbury can also join in if they so wish.
Sure. Anyone can go to the website, swap1.nz, and they can click the Join Now button. That'll take you to a sign-up page where you enter just a few details about yourself and how you currently commute. And then you will get an email every Monday asking you to record how many trips you swapped the previous week. And a swap is a trip that before you signed up, you would have done in a petrol or diesel vehicle. Now, anybody in New Zealand can sign up and log their swap trips. Today, if someone outside of Nelson signed up, Nelson or Tasman, they'd have to choose other as their region because we don't have Canterbury as a choice. But if there's sufficient interest in Canterbury, for example, if the council or local organization wants to promote this in Canterbury, we could add Christchurch or Canterbury to the sign-up options, and then we could track how many tons of emissions are saved in that region by SwapOne users. Now, the information currently on our website has a Nelson Tasman focus, but most of the information is actually relevant anywhere in New Zealand.
I love the idea of having a Canterbury section too as well. So all you Canterbury listeners, get on board and let Jim know you or find a local group who might be keen to run with this. It's a fabulous idea. Sorry, Jim, I interrupted you. Keep going.
Yeah, and send us an email at info@swap1.nz and tell us you'd like us to add Canterbury or Christchurch to the options, and that'll give us a bit of a spur. If we get enough of you writing in, we'll certainly do that.
Swap one, that's one word,
Yes, dot
dot
NZ.
NZ. Thank you.
I just want to add that our target audience is people who are currently commuting by private vehicle. Now, I imagine that many of your listeners will already be using low carbon transport modes for their commuting, but they can still join Swap One and challenge themselves to swap their trip to the grocery store or when they're visiting friends. Or a trip to the beach once a week, do that trip by bus or by bike or walking instead of taking your car. And then you can log that trip on Swap One. We're also inviting people to become Swap One champions. promoting our program to their friends or colleagues, maybe getting their employer to join the program. Now, if you're already commuting by bike or bus or walking, or maybe you've got a scooter, you could make a short video of your commute and post it on social media. Then tag the Nelson Tasman Climate Forum, and we'll enter you in our monthly prize draw. Our key message is this: start small, think big, swap one. Together, we can make a difference.
That's a great tagline. And as you were talking, I was thinking, oh, Nelson and Canterbury, we could run a bit of a competition, couldn't we, on the per capita biking rates and see whether swap one can nudge one in front of the other or not. Oh,
That'd
so much
fun
to think about. And I'm so glad you're joining us again for a second interview, Jim. But just to wrap up today's session, I'd like to invite you to share with us your vision as to how this great Swap One initiative might evolve over, say, the next 3 to 4 years. And feel free to touch on how the likes of council projects might also support it. And maybe also, it might be too early to say, have you got any takers on board already?
Well, we do have people signed up. As I mentioned, we've got a number of businesses, and they're just in the process of rolling out their comms to their staff. So we're starting to build the number of users. So it's early days yet. But looking ahead, there are certainly a number of things that the council could do to help advance Swap One and then more generally the shift to low carbon modes of transport. And to me, that starts with changing the public narrative from "this is all too hard" to a message that we can do this if we work together. I think the messaging is really important. If our civic leaders are out front encouraging people to reduce emissions, to swap one, and to try the bus one day a week, and encouraging businesses to do things like putting solar panels on the roofs, I think it would make a real difference. And we could feel we're contributing and working on something together, rather than just feeling isolated and feeling that's just me and I'm just one person and it doesn't really matter what I do. The council can also make it less attractive to bring your car into the city. For example, they could extend the zone for paid parking into the fringe around the CBD, where commuters currently park for free. And it's just a nudge to say, actually, there's a cost to bringing your car into the city. It imposes a cost on everybody by adding to congestion during peak times. And it also, creates emissions that we don't want. So it's, the council could do things like that to encourage people to use a low carbon option. And as we get more people using the bus, they can add more bus routes and increase the frequency of buses and improve the bike lanes. So there are lots of things we can do as a community to make it easier and more attractive to take the bus or ride the bike. I'd love to see, priority lanes for buses so the bus can get through traffic more quickly and leave the cars behind.
And the drivers can see the people in the bus waving to them as they drive past. That's a great answer, Jim, and a lot to think of. And as we're just sitting on the cusp of local government elections, I hope there are some councillors listening to this, either present or future councillors, that can say, oh, yeah, we've got to take this on board and do our bit to support Swap One become a great success. Well, look, it's been lovely having you on the show today, Jim. We'll have you back in a couple of weeks for another interview. So thanks and good luck with the great initiative you've got kicking off here.
Thanks, Lindsay. Nice to be here today.
Well, I so enjoyed that discussion with Jim. Doesn't he express himself so clearly? That's terrific. Now, because we have a whole lot of new listeners, I hope, in the Canterbury region, I also want to give you a little bit of a lead to the normal, original way that Climate Matters comes out, because it's a fortnightly newsletter put out by my firm, Resilience Limited. It is free. It is as concise as I can make it. Used to be always one page, but now it's out on Substack. You can find that at climatematters.nz.substack.com. I'll say that again, climatematters.nz.substack.com. That will land you on a homepage where you can see the sort of thing that we put out, and it'll enable you to link to either just to read some of the episodes or the issues, or you can actually subscribe if you wish at no cost. Also, if you want to, you can visit my firm's website. That's www.resilience, that's R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-Z resilience.co.nz, www.resilience.co.nz. There you'll find a whole lot of stuff that we do, and you'll also find including back copies to Climate Matters in the version it was before the Substack era. As you know, you're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz. Thanks again, and I do hope I have your company again next week.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.